Hello, it is May 21st, 2014. This is episode 421 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. Today's death, Jane Addams, who died May 21st, 1935. Born in Cedarville, Illinois, to one of Abraham Lincoln's best friends, she stayed in that town, ambitious but thwarted, until the age of 28. While traveling through Madrid, she found herself repulsed by bullfighting, seeing as representative of the brutality of the world, and decided to start a settlement house dedicated to, quote, the dream of the classes mingling socially to mutual benefit. It was called Hull House, which existed, quote, to teach by example, to practice cooperation, and to practice social democracy, that is, egalitarian or democratic social relations across class lines. It was a platonic ideal that, along with her stringent pacifism, would earn her the Nobel Peace Prize in 1931. By then, she had been reeling from a heart attack she'd had in 1926, and she died 5 years later at the age of 71. Here in Athens, though, it's merely Wednesday. I'm Will Leach, and thank you for spending part of your day with me. One of the fun things of getting to do this podcast is you get to do a lot of different things. You get to talk to a lot of different people in a lot of different contexts. So here's a funny one. Patrick Stewart has a movie coming out on Friday, so he's on the podcast to talk to me about soccer. I talked to Patrick Stewart. He was very nice. And here he is. Hello, Mr. Stewart. Hello. Good afternoon. Thank you for your time.
Hello, Will. Good to talk to you.
Of course. Thank you. So now we're a sports podcast, so I'm going to probably bother you with some sports questions first off. I want to ask you, before we really get going on anything, when you you went to the World Cup 4 years ago. Are you going to go this year?
Unfortunately, no. But I will be at home in the UK, and I do have a really great room for watching sport, and my son, who lives very close to me, is also an avid soccer fan, and so I think I'm going to see little else about my property except for that room during those 3 weeks.
Are you optimistic for England's chances?
Look, I don't want to be too downbeat about this, but I'd like to see them make it into the last eight. And if they do that, I will be thrilled. And the wonderful thing about the World Cup is once you've got through those qualifying rounds and you get to that place, everything becomes so intense. The challenges are so great that anything can happen to the best or to the less good national teams that are playing. So I want to see them in the last eight, and then I think anything could happen after that.
Spending so much time, obviously, in Brooklyn and Park Slope, I lived in Cobble Hill for 14 years, so I know the area very well. Have you gotten a kinship for the American team? Did you find a kinship in American soccer fans, or do we still have a way to go?
On the contrary, I followed as closely as I was possible the qualifying rounds for the United States, and I was thrilled to see them qualify. There is a lot of very good football being played here in the United States. Whenever I can, I tune in and watch football here. I have not been lucky enough to see a live game yet, but there is a high standard of soccer being played here, and the U.S. team cannot be underestimated in any way at all. I would certainly not be surprised to find them in the last eight, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. Now that you're in Brooklyn, I know that you went to your first NBA game a couple of months back. Are you a Nets fan or are you a Knicks fan?
Well, this is a little embarrassing. It's true. I had never seen a professional basketball game, despite the fact that I lived in Los Angeles for 17 years during the legendary great days of the Lakers. But we had an invitation to see the Knicks, and it was an absolutely fantastic experience. I love this. And what is more important, my wife, who has very little interest in sports, loved it too. I can, from where I'm talking to you, sitting on my terrace, I can actually see the Barclays Center. which is where the Nets play. Mm-hmm. And certainly next season, I shall find myself down there and I shall be following them closely.
There was some concern when they built the Barclays Center that it was going to mess with the neighborhood a little bit. Have you found it to be generally a positive? Does it affect your life at all there?
Well, no, it has messed with the neighborhood a little bit. I mean, I live probably a mile and a half away from the... I'm sorry, we've got some very noisy traffic.
Hey, you're in Brooklyn. You're in Brooklyn, it happens.
You recognize the sounds of Brooklyn.
Absolutely. I missed it.
Yeah, in the immediate vicinity of the Barclays Center, there have been problems. I mean, you do not want to find yourself on Flatbush Avenue an hour before a game. It's very, very challenging. And I think there was a mistake made and they did not really examine all the adjacent infrastructure that will be needed when you build a stadium like that right in the middle of an urban area. But it will get itself sorted out. The marvelous thing is that Brooklyn is changing and developing so much. I know a lot of people feel that the character is being lost, but an area that really needs it is being regenerated, and the next area that it's going to be will be, maybe you'll be surprised to hear this, will be Gowanus. I've seen all kinds of extraordinary plans for turning Gowanus into the Venice of Brooklyn.
And you're staying. You're not going to bug out on Brooklyn in a couple of years, are you? You're here.
Absolutely. I love being in this neighborhood. I have for the last 6 months had to go into Manhattan 6 days a week because I was in a Broadway show. But when I'm here, unless there is a compelling reason for going into Manhattan, I stay right where I am.
And so now I'm curious, you know, obviously you have, I think since your embrace of Twitter, I think over the last year or so, I think you've kind of come into a little bit more, I find every time I'm online, I run into a picture of you somewhere, which is, and I'm actually looking right now at a site called fuckyeahsirpatrickstewart.tumblr.com, in which basically every couple of hours, there's just a picture of them. Someone puts up a post about you doing something over there. Are you comfortable with online culture in that way? I mean, on one hand, obviously the power of Twitter and you get to have fun with it and be silly in a lot of ways. On the other hand, now you're becoming this kind of ubiquitous figure in a lot of ways.
Well, a lot of it is out of my control. 18 months ago, it was my PR company who said to me, Patrick, it's time. You've got to become involved with social media. So we looked at all the different options, and Twitter was the one that most appealed to me. I liked the discipline surrounding the content of Twitter. And I have found over time that it can be a real value, of course, at times in promoting professional activities, but also causes that I care about that are very important to me, or issues that come up, social issues, current social issues. But perhaps most importantly, to have some fun. And I love hitting on things that amuse me and that I hope perhaps might amuse others too. And during that time, the last 18 months, my wife and I have had a great deal of pleasure out of some of the things that we've been able to have fun with.
Well, yeah, and it's true because, you know, you've built up this perception of yourself in a lot of ways, and before Twitter, and now it's funny because I see Twitter, I see you on the Colbert Report and the Daily Show. It feels like as in the last couple of years, you've done comedy before, of course, but it feels like you seem to be having fun, kind of subverting that idea a little bit of this serious actor.
Yes, you've described it perfectly. Probably partly because of some of the roles that I have played, I have, I think, acquired a reputation as being a rather solemn, perhaps overly serious individual, somewhat in the mold of Captain Picard and Charles Xavier. That's never been the case. And there have been now opportunities, which I cannot think of any other forum that would have presented the same opportunities to undermine that impression that the world has of me. And the one of the pleasant and unexpected aspects of it is that I find myself now professionally involved increasingly with comedy. And indeed, only a week ago, there was a press release about a new half-hour comedy series that I'm beginning in the fall or sometime in the winter with Seth MacFarlane and Jonathan Ames, which I'm thrilled about because it's a part of my business I've never really dipped a toe into, and I'm very excited about having the opportunity now. And I think that in some respects, the sort of stuff that I've been doing on Twitter have had an impact in leading to that.
Well, I know you're Brooklyn now because you're doing something with Jonathan Ames. That feels the most Brooklyn things possible. He's kind of notoriously a Brooklyn guy in a lot of ways. I'm curious, when you're promoting something like this, when you're promoting X-Men, you just recently had a film that got very positive reviews at the Tribeca Film Festival, Match, that you were in. Obviously, the promotion schedules are different a little bit on this, but do you find yourself, obviously, and there are obligations and, of course, being proud of the work of the X-Men films, but do you find yourself trying to slip that in a little bit sometimes when you do a smaller movie that you're proud of in that way?
Of course, but whenever possible. There is some great work being done in small independent feature film production, but it obviously there are not the resources that there are with something like X-Men to promote the movie. So whenever I have an opportunity appropriately to talk about what I've been doing, in this case, a very small movie Match that we filmed here in Brooklyn about 15 months ago and which had a very successful run at Tribeca, I take an opportunity to talk about it so that if people know about it, then it's something they can look out for.
Okay, my last question, we'll bring it back to the World Cup, because I sense among Americans that there's so much more excitement for the World Cup than I think there even was 4 years ago, and then there was before that. Are you really going to clear out the whole month? Or will you watch do you clear out work obligations to not just watch England games, but most of the whole Cup?
Well, I'd already made a decision to take a lot of time off this summer because it's been a very, very busy winter. And I will be at my house in England. My son lives nearby. He's a fanatical soccer supporter. And we are already stocking the fridge with Guinness and brown ale and frozen pizzas. And we shall be spending a lot of time together there. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. The World Cup can never come around quick enough for me. And I am very, very optimistic about the possibilities for the United States.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. Good luck with both films. And it was an honor to get to chat with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Be safe. All right. So, hey, Patrick Stewart. Totally as nice as a guy as you would have thought he would have been. Friendly fellow. You know, I didn't really watch... I'm not a Star Trekkie, whatever the correct term on it. I think it's just a Trekkie. I was not a Trekkie, so I didn't ask him any Picard questions. I really just know him as the X-Men guy, and frankly, the guy from Colbert. So, but anyway, he was great, and that was really fun. And frankly, watching those games with him and his son, the World Cup games in their little Guinness loft in England sounds like the most fun thing in the world. I should try to invite myself over. Anyway, thank you to Patrick Stewart. You can follow him on Twitter, at SirPatStu. SirPatStew. This is the Willy's Experience Podcast. The music is by the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. This is the last show of the week. Our next show will be, it's Memorial Day weekend, so I'm not going to do a show on Monday. So our next show will not be until Tuesday, May 27th. We'll have three shows that week. And then that will lead us in to our World Cup preview week. So be forewarned. If you do not like the World Cup, and you might not, I don't know why, but you might not, that'll be a week of shows to skip. I'll probably still sneak in a baseball show, though, because I'm me. Anyway, thank you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. Get outside, grill things, enjoy the outdoors, and enjoy basically we're entering into the summer, which, you know, for most people means sun and tanning, and for me means the time where no one in media seems to work, and it drives me crazy. I can't ever get a hold of anybody because everyone just takes the summer off. So you enjoy your summer while I'm trying to get work done around here. Anyway, have a great weekend. Have a wonderful Memorial Day, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Be safe.